24,000 people die every single day from hunger and hunger-related diseases, at least 24,000. And that doesn't need to happen. We have plenty of resources, so that shouldn't happen. It happens because of the system we've created. We can say without a doubt that this system is an absolute failure. From the most rational, objective, economic standpoint, it's a failure. Less than 5% of the world's population live in the United States. We are consuming over 25% of the world's resources and creating roughly 30% of its major pollution. That's a failure.
The voice of John Perkins, who wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and he's one of the many experts featured in the film The End of Poverty. It's a new film by Cinema Libre Studios. The film is part of a global action against poverty that launches tomorrow, October 17th. Despite some progress in the global efforts to reduce poverty, my next guest argues that a billion people still continue to live on less than $1 a day, millions continue to starve, and that the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty is necessary to move forward with. Dennis Ouellette, director of Make Poverty History Canada, and also with the Global Call to Action Against Poverty, joins us from Canada. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
I just have to begin by asking you, the news is both in the United States and around the world, economic problems, maybe a worldwide recession, truly the investor class and those in governments for the most affected places, both at the UK and the countries participating in the Asian market, as well as here in the United States, are scrambling to keep the current system afloat. Why is it important now to be talking about eradicating poverty in this environment?
Well, it does really make one cynical to see how quickly governments find, you know, huge sums of money, like $700 billion, when the banks and the investors are in trouble. But that 50,000 children dying and people dying every day because of poverty is not a crisis. That can be ignored. And the sums of money that are required to deal with the global poverty crisis are very small by comparison. Just $16 billion a year would help to move us forward on achieving the Millennium Development Goals, for example, that aims to cut poverty, extreme poverty, in half by the year 2015.
Who signed on for those Millennium Development Goals?
It was adopted by the United Nations in the year 2000 at the Millennium Summit, where world leaders gathered. And it was a very ambitious commitment to really try to, in this new millennium, make poverty reduction a priority for the world. And some progress has been made. In fact, on a number of the eight goals, significant progress has been made. But
well, give us the good news. Give us the good news first, Dennis, because
the
we don't get enough
success,
good news.
Well, the biggest success we've had, and that's at the when the Global Call to Action Against Poverty came into being, was during the 2005 G8 meeting that took place in Gleneagles, Scotland. And if people remember the Live 8 concerts, that was part of the whole massive global campaign. We did succeed in getting the G8 leaders to agree to cancel the debts of a number of the developing countries. And this has had a huge positive impact. Countries like Tanzania, the money freed up, the money that used to be going to pay the interest on their loans, they were now able to use it to invest in health and education. They've been able to cancel school fees, and that has boosted attendance by children, especially by girls. Ghana has been able to extend primary health care clinics throughout the country and really turn the tide on the battle against AIDS. So there are a number of real progress stories happening, but that progress is threatened by climate change, by the global food price crisis, and now by this global financial crisis. So we really need to redouble our efforts and get a renewed commitment from global leaders that the poor will not be forgotten in this crisis.
Felipe Diaz also joins the conversation. He's director and writer of the film, The End of Poverty. We heard just a little from that film at the beginning of the segment. The film is part of the Stand Up, Take Action mobilization. It's screening in 13 countries this weekend as part of the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty. Felipe Diaz, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
Your film, The End of Poverty, was just at the Cannes Film Festival, and it's currently screening in Europe, due to be released in the United States March of next year. Talk a little bit about your inspiration to make the film.
Well, I think that, you know, I have been studying. Sorry, I'm losing my voice because I'm touring around Europe right now in all these festivals. The movie had been selected in 14 festivals, and we have been doing from one to another, so it's a bit difficult right now, but I'll do my best. The idea was to show that, in fact, our international system has always been financed by the poor and still is financed by the poor. And what we see in the economical crisis that we have in the United States, it's very clear, meaning the profits are privatized, but the loss are socialized, meaning that the poor will have to pay back the banks, you know, after 50 years that people have been, you know, earning a lot of money with these banks, you know, which is, I think, very interesting. And that was the idea. That was always the idea, to show that, you know, we have been, all the experts in the movie, you know, talk about that we have been living on this trickle-down theory, you know, where you make the rich very, very rich, and the wealth will trickle down to the poor. But it's a total fraud. It never worked and never will work. You know, it started in the years of Reagan and Thatcher and Helmut Kohl in Germany, but that never worked, you know. But we continue to be, we continue with this idea that, you know, again, if the rich are rich, it's better than anything else.
Well, Felipe Diaz, is the film The End of Poverty then a repudiation, a rejection of this whole approach to economics? And if so, then what do you make any recommendations about what should replace it?
Yeah, absolutely. Meaning it's clear that if you want, what is interesting is that we started this movie 3 years ago, and it took us 3 years to do that. But so some of the interviews with all these experts are almost 2 years old. And 2 years ago, they were already talking about, you know, the economical crisis, which was coming. You know, so the very pessimistic one were saying, well, the system has to explode entirely, you know, and after this gigantic explosion will be able to rebuild. Some are more optimistic, and I'm a little bit more optimistic, and I hope that we'll be smarter and we won't let it go that way, but I'm not quite sure. And so, yes, there are a lot at the end, there are a lot of suggestions or, you know, ideas that these experts bring, which go anywhere from, you know, there is an expert in the movie called Cliff Cobb, who is explaining that, in fact, there are three components on poverty. You know, there is the idea of the monopoly of over natural resources, and that has to be ended. There is the idea of course, the third world debt, this debt which had been, you know, ruining entire population or economy of countries, and that has to be, of course, you know, terminated, no question. And there is the unfair trade, you know, with the subsidies and this and that. And there's another level of, you know, of suggestion which are made by other experts, which is said that today we have 20% of the world population who is consuming 80% of the resources. So until 50 years ago, that was fine because we thought that the resources were unlimited. So, of course, when some other kind of, you know, countries or population are joining this level of consumption, that's fine if we have all the resources we want. But we know today that it's not the case. We know today that the resources are limited, and another expert in the movie says that today we are consuming 30% more than what the planet can regenerate. So we are digging a hole, clearly. You know, I always picture the situation of, you know, a very fast train driving full speed toward a cliff. And it's exactly what the situation that we are.
I think Americans are getting a sense of just how fast it is going toward the cliff. I want to have a play just a little bit more from the new film, The End of Poverty, and then I'll come back to you both.
Sure. Let me give you just one statistic, which I worked out in minutes, because otherwise it's incomprehensible. Sub-Saharan Africa, which is the poorest part of the world, is paying $25,000 every minute to northern creditors, Well, you could build a lot of schools, a lot of hospitals, a lot of job. You could make a lot of job creation if you were using $25,000 a minute differently from debt repayment. So there's this drain, and I think people don't understand that it is actually the South that is financing the North. If you look at the flows of money from North to South and then from South to North, what you find is that the South is financing the North to the tune of about $200 billion every year.
Interesting, Dennis Hulett. I think that Americans are now, because of the economic crisis that's facing a lot of us and the housing problems and the foreclosures, people are starting to become conscious, but I think just beginning. Dennis, you're part of an international movement that's focused on the economy and focused on poverty. And when you hear an expert, like in the film that we just heard, talk about the entire relationship, the world relationship, and how money flows, when you travel around and talk to people, particularly in these privileged countries, are you getting the kind of aha moments that you're hoping with this film?
Well, I think there is a growing level of awareness about the global poverty issues. Here in Canada, I know that we've seen public opinion shift, and people are much more willing to support efforts to deal with these issues. I think people are realizing more and more we're in a global financial system, and we are all going to suffer as a result of the dysfunctionality of this system. I mean, the deregulation and the whole promotion of unlimited speculation has created this unproductive way of investing that has just enriched those already rich, and it's at the expense of the real economy of investment in production. And if we're going to get out of this, we need to not just patch the system up, but really use this opportunity to implement a complete major shift in the way the financial system works.
I mean,
the only way to have sustainability is to do a bottom-up kind of new economic development strategy.
Dennis, what would that look like then? I mean, are we talking about moving away from capitalism to something else? What do you think?
Well, I think there's still a role for markets to play, but they need to be regulated, and we need to ensure that they really serve the common good and that they are at the service of human need. We really need to invest in food production, in small farmers, in sustainable economic job-creating investments that will really address the needs of people today. That has to be the first priority. And if we build our economy on that basis, it's going to be much more sustainable, it's going to be healthier, it's going to be more stable.
Felipe Diaz, when you go around and show the film, I cannot overstate, you know, how those of us growing up in the global economic system and the system in our country, it's been driven by greed and as Dennis said, by a lack of regulation and all of that, rewarded those who have taken, particularly from transferred money from the public coffers to private hands. The kind of systemic change that your film advocates is going to take quite a bit of convincing, quite a bit of a change in the hearts and minds of, you know, average people.
Definitely, definitely. But I think that, you know, the thing is that we are at such a level of crisis today. And, you know, it's very funny to hear now all these economists saying, you know, oh, we didn't know, we didn't realize that it would be, it's so surprising. It's absolutely untrue. You know, everybody knew that this crisis was coming. What we didn't know, of course, that it would come through the real estate thing, but it could have come through many, many different parts of the economy. And it will continue, definitely. So, of course, you know, it's very interesting because we have been going through, again, like dozens of festivals, and now, just a correction, it will be screened this weekend in 15 countries, you know, and there is a real desire for people to understand what's going on. Not only to understand, and I think the film is showing them, let's say from 1492, because that's the concept that we took, you know, up to now, you know, how this system was built, you know, and therefore where we are going, but they also want to know what they can do. You know, and for example, one of the ideas brought also in the movie was to say, let's restore the idea of the commons. You know, before land was communal, natural resources were communal, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and I think people have a strong desire. They understand that we can't continue like that. And they want to change, and they want to know how to do it. So that's what we are trying to do.
The economist, Felipe Diaz, the economist that you interviewed for the film The End of Poverty, that predicted 2 years ago the economic meltdown, what did they say would come next, could come next?
Well, you know, again, we have two kind of experts in the movie. One, like, for example, Serge Latouche, who is this professor in Paris, says, you know, told me, I didn't even put it in the movie, but he was saying during the interview, you know, I know that we are going toward a major explosion, and I wake up every morning wondering if it's for today or tomorrow. So he is convinced that, you know, as you were saying, the greed will prevent us from looking at another way and doing it in a soft way. You know, you have other, you know, economists like Susan George, the excerpt that you just played is from Susan George. She's more positive and thinks that, you know, the young generation, for example, will push toward a different solution and toward a different, you know, and have definitely a different attitude toward the world. But now it's clear that, you know, again, unless we have, as Edgardo Lander says, he's a professor in Caracas, say, unless we go to a radical transformation, you know, we will never get out of this hole. You know, when you look at the budget deficit of the United States, you understand that there is no solution to stop this deficit, you know, unless we have a radical transformation.
Well, Dennis Hewlett, I just want to get your quick response. Is the solution or the pressure to make these kind of changes that Felipe was just talking about going to come from concerned people inside the richest countries, or is it going to be more of a bottom-up from people in the countries that have been suffering from the current economic system the most, people in Ghana and other places?
It has to be a global campaign, and the Global Call to Action Against Poverty is actually hoping to mobilize over 1% of the world's population on a common action day, October 17th, 18th, and 19th.
And that's upcoming weekend.
That's north and south. And it really does require a global solution and people realizing that we have a common interest. We can't continue consuming the way we are. Climate change pressures will not allow that. But on the other hand, if people in the south start living like we do, that would be disastrous as well. So really, the only way is to find another development model.
Well, stand against poverty. And as you're looking for another development model, thank you for coming on and talking about the Day for the Eradication of Poverty. Really important to have these conversations, not only among Americans, but among the global community. That's standagainstpoverty.org. Dennis Hewlett was our guest, director of Make Poverty History Canada. We were also joined by the director and writer of the film The End of Poverty, which you can get more information about at theendofpoverty.com, theendofpoverty.com. That's Felipe Diaz. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
It's the KPFA Morning Show. I'm Amy Allison. 1 minute after 8, it's KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and online all the time at kpfa.org, where you can continue to show your support by donating generously.